Alexandra Spinnaker.
Yeah, so I will introduce myself. Okay, and I'm going to present the work mainly done in the University of Patras with Professor Fotinos and two very active postdocs, Droulias, Sotiris, and Stavros Perukidis. I'm going to talk about biaxial pneumatics. This is an old story. Actually, it was predicted in 70 years ago from Fraser in the improving the Meyer-Schaub theory.
Not yet 70 years, but in the 70s.
In 70, yeah, okay. And later, Stralli constructed the molecular model for this phase transition, actually a board-like particle with the dimensions shown here. Okay, it works. And he proved that when the dimensions of the particle meet certain criteria, then these particles may produce stable biaxial pneumatic phases. And this criterion is the self-duality. So the dimensions of the particles should be such in order the particle to be neither prolate nor oblate. So he was able to predict all this phase diagram in terms of temperature and the width of the particle just using a simple shape parameter of the particle. So, depending on the sign of this parameter, we could have the phase transition from the isotropic to uniaxial, plate-like, disc-like uniaxial, and then to biaxial. When nu, the shape parameter, this is zero, we can have a direct transition from the isotropic to the biaxial state. And when nu is greater than zero, then we have rod-like pneumatic to the biaxial pneumatic. So this is a huge success of this very simple theory. On the other hand, experimentally, we know that we can have much more complex situation. For instance, in the liotropic systems studied by Schaub, in a very narrow range of concentrations of this mixture, of this ternary mixture, we can have phase transitions that involve disc-like to biaxial phase, reentrant disc-like, and isotropic again, or even more complex phase sequences. Of course, here the entities, the micelles that formed, may change shape, so this is the reason we can have all this this very spectacular phase sequence with temperature in this liotropic system. Later, we had biaxial pneumatics in polymeric systems like this in 87 or in oligomeric systems, tetrapods, which have reported, have been shown that they exhibit biaxial pneumatic phases. Probably the most famous compound that exhibits thermotropic biaxial pneumatic phases then this bent core mesogens reported first by Samulski that they are they exhibit stable biaxial pneumatic phases. All the systems I described before are quite complex. The polymers, there are too many parameters in order that are involved to the molecular biaxiality. By far the most simplest system that exhibits stable biaxial phase up to now is this geothite particles reported a few years ago by Van der Poel and the Lecker-Kerker's group. And this system, this colloidal system, when the dimensions of the particle is close to the length to the width and the width to the thickness are more or less equal, then increasing the density, the system starts from the isotropic phase, condenses in a pneumatic biaxial phase, and afterwards appear some smectic A biaxial and the coexistence between crystalline and smectic biaxial phases. The biaxiality of this smectic phase is under some question, even in these works. On the other hand, this system shows very interesting reentrant pneumatic phases upon the application of external aligning fields. So we have a very simple system. The interactions between these colloids are short trains, steric interactions. So we have to a very nice model to check theory and simulations. What is very surprising is that there are no simulations at these very simple models, the Bohr-like particles, up to now. And this is quite strange. Actually, there are simulations of particles of this symmetry, biaxial ellipsoids by Mike Allen, and they show, indeed, that when the geometry of the anisotropy of the particles meets certain criteria, they have this dual shape, it can give biaxial phase. But there is a drawback here. The ellipsoids do not allow for smectic phases. Actually, the competing phases of these biaxial phases are not present here. This is by construction of this of the ellipsoids, as was pointed out by Frenkel in 87. So the other attempt was by our group. We thought that, okay, if we have Bohr-like particles, that they give uniaxial phases, only uniaxial phases, and mix them. Then this length polydispersity can destroy the smecticity of this of the phase sequence, and a stable pneumatic phase appears at a certain composition. But in this model again, the particles were restricted to be perfectly aligned. Okay, so we don't have an isotropic phase here. Okay, here we don't have the smectic phases, the ordered phases. Here we don't have the disordered phase. So in order to fill this gap, we simulated these Bohr-like molecules, which actually are Bohr-like cuboids with decorated with half cylinders around them. And the nice feature of this system is that if both the thickness and the width go to 1, become equal and equal to 1, then we have this system transforms to a spherocylinder, a well-studied system. And for this system, we assume only excluded volume interactions, hard body interactions, and we are going to see the phase diagram of this using Monte Carlo simulations. Note here that in the highest packing of this system, the packing fraction tends to unity. Actually, they can fill almost perfectly the space. So I will present some results for these three systems, the system A, B, C. All of them have the same length to width, equal to 3, and it changes is the thickness of these particles. Okay, and the shape parameter introduced by Strally is almost zero for this system, for the system B, and positive for the system C. C should be there, and negative here. So if we put these numbers on the Strally's line in the width to the L diagram, then all of them are very close to the range where biaxial phases are expected. So let me start with the system C. The system C, which have this positive shape parameter, condenses from the isotropic phase at a packing fraction almost 0.45, to a rod-like mnemonic. And with a first-order transition, it goes to a smectic A phase. It's a very typical situation of rod-like particles. So here, what we have the order parameter, the main order parameter of the z-axis of this particle. The biaxiality is zero, actually, everywhere. And the order parameter of the x-axis of the particle, which is in the very ordered state, it goes almost to minus 0.5. That it tells us that it is oriented perpendicular to the main director. The biaxiality order parameters, they introduced by Roberto in the previous talk, so I will not talk about them very much. So I will switch now to the system A. Here, the situation is very different. We start at the packing fraction 0.30% with a disk-like pneumatic of this system. So that means the x-axis of the particle orients along the director. So we have a discotic, and at increasing the pressure, it transforms to a calamitic smectic A. So we have a discotic phase, and this transforms to a smectic A calamitic-like. This, to the best of my knowledge, this phase sequence has not been reported neither to from simulations, neither from experiments. And of course, in liotropic systems, we have this kind of transitions. The biaxiality here, again, is the systems are not biaxial. In the system B now, we have clearly the appearance of a biaxial pneumatic phase, of a proper biaxial pneumatic phase. And this biaxial phase transforms again, increasing the density or the pressure, into a smectic A phase, uniaxial, again, calamitic-like smectic A phase. So if we follow here the order parameter, let's say, of the x molecular axis, this is positive. That means that the director is defined by this. And when it passes to the biaxial pneumatic, where the z molecular, the long molecular axis, becomes more oriented, then we have this change of sign. The order parameter along the z axis becomes positive and the other negative. Here is the biaxiality of this phase. These snapshots are not look very nice. Now, in order to analyze these phases, we used the pair correlations which depend on both position and orientations. And we define them, we take this r as the relative distance between two molecules, and omega describes the relative orientation of this. If we expand this function in terms of rotational of these rotational functions, which are related to the Wigner matrices, then we can construct the rotational invariant radial pair correlation functions, which is this one, which is the usual radial pair correlation function, which is the orientations have been averaged, and correlation functions that describe the relative orientations of the molecules as well. So here we plot this function. Actually, this function tells us how the orientations change, the orientational correlations change with distance. Actually, how the second Legendre polynomial. Here we can see that in the smectic phase we have a quite high order parameter, and going to at the isotropic phase, these correlations decay to zero in the isotropic phase quite fast. The same is true for this correlation again, that confirms that all these phases are unambiguously, we have long range orientational order. And we have identified it with this way, the axis with the highest molecular alignment. Now, if we go to the biaxial correlation, the radial correlation function that describes the biaxial correlations of this particle, we can see that for the system A, they decay quite fast to zero. For the system A, where the shape parameter is close to zero, this is the system with the dual shape, the isotropic phase goes to zero. In the pneumatic biaxial phase, the disc-like biaxial phase, we have the discorrelations does not disappear at long distances and increase with pressure. But when we go to the calamitic biaxial phase, these biaxial correlations decay, and finally, in the smectic phase, disappear. So the smectic phase is macroscopically uniaxial. The same picture have in the for the other system. Again, here we see that the biaxial correlations, even in the isotropic phase or in the uniaxial pneumatic, are longer, have longer range than these correlations in the smectic phase. This, I think, we should give an explanation why these correlations, these biaxial correlations in the smectic phase, decay so faster. So this is a picture of the smectic phase, and this is the way the molecules are arranged within the layer. We can see here a tendency of the particles to stack phase to phase, and these chains actually are randomly oriented, and this destroys the biaxiality within the layers. Actually, this is because the anisotropy of the two-dimensional, the cross-section anisotropy of these particles is not enough to produce a long-range order in two dimensions. And this actually is confirmed with simulations by Bates and Frenkel of 2D systems, where they have shown that in order to have a pneumatic ordering here, the cross section should be more than 8. In our case, this cross section is about 3. So everything is consistent with what we know up to here, from previous simulations. Now, if we calculate the density profile around a single molecule, then we can see that there is, in the whole range of pressure, persistent structures which extend different depending on which direction we look at the particles. And this patterns actually agrees quite well with the XRD patterns calculated in the papers of the heart of the colloids, of the real colloids. And actually, if we measure the distances here, we see that even these distances agree quite well. So what we did, we measure in a simple way the correlation length along the several directions of this particle. And we constructed with these correlation lengths the extent of the of these structures, the a shape parameter which refers actually not to a single molecule but rather to the correlated domain of the molecules. If we plot this supramolecular, let's say, say parameter, we see that this parameter changes sign close to this pneumatic biaxial to the pneumatic disc-like biaxial to the calamitic biaxial pneumatic. So it tells us that the supramolecular correlations around these hard particles change shape with density and pressure, and actually they change this shape and different directions of the particle. We have analyzed this correlations in a more proper way. So we have calculated this density profile. From this density profile, we calculate a distribution-like function in the x in the two-dimensional, and from these functions, which actually is a measure of the structure of the system around the molecule in two dimensions, we and the second calculated the second moments of these distributions here, we were able to estimate in a way the length, the correlation length of these domains, the size of these domains. And actually, in order to have a measure, an independent measure, we have scaled these dimensions with an ideal, the corresponding ideal lengths where no correlations exist at all, no positional correlations. So I have plotted all these lengths, the extent, this the size, the shape of this supramolecular structure in this plot. We see that along the main changes, what changes actually with the pressure is the size of this correlation length along the x axis of the molecule. And if we calculate the volume of this correlation length, and compare with the corresponding volume of this correlation length of hard sphere systems, then we see that this correlation volume in these anisotropic materials are at least 2 times higher than the correlation volume in hard sphere systems. Note here that at these packing fractions where we have all these pneumatic asmectic phases in the hard board-like particles, the hard sphere system is still in the isotropic phase. It's quite far from the crystallization packing fraction, which is almost 0.5. So the whole story of this system is here. We have done several simulations, and we were able to construct it to trace the phase boundaries of this actually cuboid, of this board-like particle. What I have plotted here. Here is the width of the particle, and here is the length. So, depending on the width and on the length, we can have this kind of phase sequences, isotropic to rod-like, pneumatic, and to smectic. When the thickness, the width of the particle becomes bigger in comparison with here, we have isotropic to disc-like, pneumatic, and after to columnar. There are certain combinations of L and W where we have a direct transition from the isotropic to the smectic phase. And what is quite interesting is this area around the Stralis line. Here we have phase sequences which include the biaxial pneumatic phase that transforms to the smectic phase. There is a small, narrow region here where the system condenses from the isotropic phase to a disk-like kinematic and then the Smeck decay phase. And this completes the full story of this model. Clearly here, we have the critical geometry of this molecule. Well, when L is 9 and W is 3, then we have a critical point, and small deviation from this point can change the phase diagram, the phase sequence of this system dramatically, and can lead to totally different phase diagram. Let's show this a bit closer. When we have particles, biaxial particles with length, let's say greater than 9, and let's start varying the width of this particle. When the width is small, then we have, okay, isotropic pneumatic to Smectic. There is a range of widths which is well located here. From for these widths, we have isotropic to pneumatic biaxial and then to Smeck decay phase transition. And a wide area where we have isotropic, disk-like pneumatic, and then columnar phase. The situation is different when the length of the particles is lower than 9. Then we have a window from where the isotropic phase condenses directly to a Smeck decay phase. And for small W, small widths, we have isotropic pneumatic, rod-like pneumatic, and Smectic. And for large widths, we have isotropic pneumatic, discotic, and columnar phase transitions. Note here that for a system with L with equal to 9, to this critical length, then we have a direct transition from the isotropic phase to the Smectic, and this W's here, these windows, actually merge to a single point here. In all these systems, there is always a narrow range where we have a transition from isotropic to a discotic phase and then to a Smectic A phase. This is the first time. This is unpublished results. This is a full phase diagram of this very simple model. I can make some first conclusions here that the these phases we have observed have very clear local structures, and the macroscopic density drives the growth of the size of these correlated domains anisotropically in a different rate, different directions, and influence as well the inter-supramolecular correlations, and this can lead to pneumatic-pneumatic phase transitions. And we hope that all these results will help to a better understanding both to the liquid-liquid transitions and of the pneumatic phase. And we think that this nearly exact computational experiments will be a very good guide for experiments towards the design of desired functionalities, as well to theory for testing and improving analytical molecular theories and models using this very simple interaction potential. Let me now, what time should I finish?
Well, the rates are 22.
Huh?
You have at least 10 minutes.
Okay. we have this, the bent core pneumatics. The picture for this bent core pneumatics is more or less similar with the picture we expect for the board-like pneumatics of the biaxial phase, I mean. But for these systems, there are questions. Are they spontaneously biaxial or field induced? Or are these the usual molecular biaxials or the cybotactic clusters, pneumatic clusters, characterize these pneumatic phases? And the same compound that has been reported as biaxial, it has been reported from John Goodby's group that under the polarization optical microscopy, the system appears to form spontaneously chiral domains. This non-chiral system. Okay, all these are very interesting questions, and in order to check whether this picture of clustered phases, we have constructed a very simple model in order to describe this phenomenologically, this cluster pneumatic. So take this pneumatic of N molecules between these two plates. Here the bent, the long axis of the bent molecules are along this, and these domains are clusters, biaxial clusters, where in their interior there is a biaxial order, but in this picture they are uncorrelated. Starting with this picture and going to the molecular level, we can construct molecular tensors, either vector or second rank tensors, and from them we can construct the cluster tensors that describe the average, let's say, polarity or orientation of this of these clusters. Now, these order parameters, the local biaxiality and the macroscopic biaxiality, is some proper order parameters of this system. And having them, we can construct a Landau-Dezen free energy, which in the case we have clusters that are biaxial, will be a power series of the cluster biaxiality, the local order parameter, and of the macroscopic biaxiality, plus this very simple coupling terms between these two order parameters. In the case we consider that the cluster are the local clusters are polar as well, then we have, together with the macroscopic biaxiality, we have a local polarity, an order parameter which describes this polarity, and the macroscopic polarity. In the same fashion, we can construct the Landau free energy for this system, which has two more couplings between the polar and the biaxial order parameter, and the we allow for the coupling with an external electric or magnetic or aligning field in general. So with this simple picture, we can see, we can observe, we can predict phase transitions from molecular pneumatics, where these clusters are very small, actually, are zero. So in this case, you have a uniaxial pneumatic. We have uniaxial phases, but with clusters developed, which are biaxial, but this cluster, the directions, the biaxiality of these clusters are not does not point in the same direction. So overall, the phase is not biaxial, and another pneumatic, which is a proper biaxial, where all the clusters have the same direction. And the same picture we can have for polar, with polar clusters, where these are uncorrelated, then can be ordered but antiparallel, so overall the phase here is not polar, but it is biaxial due to the local polarity. And of course the low temperature phase is the phase where it's macroscopically polar and biaxial. So a typical phase diagram from this Landau expansion starts with a uniaxial phase where we don't have any clusters. We have a transition phase, a first order transition in a pneumatic uniaxial phase with polar clusters, but uniaxial overall, to a biaxial pneumatic phase with polar clusters again, but overall non-polar, and okay, this the low temperature phase, we don't care about this for the moment. And we see here that the response of these phases to external, to the application of external fields depends crucially on the existence of clusters or no. So we can see here that even a small field, tends to zero here, can produce huge biaxial correlations or biaxial order within our sample, even this sample is overall uniaxial. Now, we want to check this theory, this clustered theory, with again using some simulations in order to measure this local structure. To do this, we started with the atomistic detail of these oxadiazoles and modeled the bent core molecule, assuming that this molecule consists of from a rigid core and from some end chains that are able to rotate. Okay. So we put several molecules of this kind in a simulation box, and we were able to see a phase transition from the isotropic to pneumatic phase and then to a smectic phase. But for this system, where the molecular conformations of this molecule have a preference to be the chains to be out of the plane of the bent core, we see that the same system can be end up with this twisted state. So we start with a system which is with a molecule which is a chiral, and this system can go either to a macroscopically uniaxial pneumatic or to a macroscopically twisted mesophase, pneumatic mesophase. Here, this helical superstructure has confirmed for several thousand of molecules. Again, the same system at the same temperature condenses either to a uniaxial phase or to a twisted pneumatic phase. So, what does this tell to us? It tells that the free energy difference between these two states is quite small, actually. But since we never observed a transition once we have a pneumatic phase from one pneumatic phase to the other, it tells us that the barrier between these two relatively close minima should be quite high. So this system can easily be trapped in one of these states. I will not bother you too much with the positional correlations of this molecule, but I will like to stress here we have a two-dimensional profile of the polar correlations of this molecule. Okay, in the pneumatic phase. In both pneumatic phases, in the twisted and the uniaxial, we take the same picture. We see that the polar correlations extend along the X molecular axis in longer distances than in the side by side. So when it is side by side, the polarity dies quite after small distances. Okay, the same. The picture with correlations along the XZ molecular axis. I will the positional correlations are it's what we see here. It's indicates clearly that in the pneumatic phase, we are in the pneumatic phase, we have short-range correlations, smectic-like short-range correlations. And from this plot, we can see that the polarity, the XX correlation, changes sign from layer to layer. So we start with something positive and moving along the Z axis, it changes sign here and becomes negative, and in the next layer it becomes positive. So clearly both smectic pneumatic phases composes from smectic-like clusters which are anti-ferroelectrically aligned. The polar correlations in the smectic, in the uniaxial phase along the in the X in the YZ molecular plane, again, confirm this this change of the polarity along the layers. But in the twisted pneumatic phase, we have this kind of rotation in right or in left-handed phases. We see that the positional correlations are not anymore symmetric. So this suggests clearly, this rotation, that in the twisted pneumatic phase, these cybotactic clusters are of smectic, anticlinic, and polar, and in an antiferroelectric arrangement. So this is actually the correlation lengths we measure are in quite good agreement with the experimental results from XRD calculations. And actually they remain, they does not change too much with temperature. Again, in order to see if this picture, the cluster picture, is in accordance with the phenomenological observation, we have done the following experiments. We in our pneumatics we have applied aligning fields along that tends to align the X molecular axis either in that way, in this quadratic way, either polarly, and we measure these electrobiaxial and electropolar coefficients. Polarity of the system changes with the change with the electric field, and here is how the biaxiality of the system changes with the application of the electric field. And the results we get are consistent with the phenomenological picture that our phase is in the pneumatic phase with in a uniaxial pneumatic phase with polar clusters. And instead of conclusions in this section, I would like to give these pictures from a very recent publication, this impressive picture. They are cryo-TEM images of the pneumatic phase of bent core molecules. And here, Zachli and others were able to observe in the pneumatic phase the existence of these cybotactic clusters optically now, not through X-rays or other experiments. And the dimensions of these clusters actually in the high temperature pneumatic phase are of order of a few molecular lengths.
in accordance with the sizes we predicted with our molecular simulations. And probably this is the reason why in these bent core systems we need relatively low magnetic fields in order to induce phase transitions. A common calamitic requires huge fields in order to shift the phase transition either for percentage of Kelvin. Here, with moderate fields, the phase transition, the pneumatic to the isotropic phase transition, can be shifted for several degrees. And this is consistent with the cluster picture of this bent core pneumatics. So I will end with this. So we have biaxial faces from Bohr's light and from this Möbius bent cores. Here is a picture of the local structure. Look this movie here. So these molecules can rotate about themselves, about their long axis, simultaneously, without any overlap. Okay. Here, for the Bohr-like particles, in order to do this, they can't do this actually, because they have all these strong overlaps. You can see here. So the molecular theories that we used to study to see all this local order in more detail, to study these synchronized rotations of these bent core systems, should go beyond the two Onsager approximation. So it is not enough, this entropy of a single particle orientation. We need to add contributions from entropy contributions because of the orientational and positional correlations of pairs or triplets of molecules. And this should be should have a very big contribution to for this system. Okay, and I finish with this, and you are all invited to the next European Liquid Crystal Conference, which will be held in September in Rhodes. It is still summer in September in Rhodes. And for more information, okay, you can visit the website of the conference. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Since we're eating into the tea break, we probably ought to leave questions to informal ones during the break. So thank you very much again.